today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips!
Greetings and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs, a daily music podcast. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of my co-host, co-founder, and great friend Jim Lanahan, I want to welcome you to another edition of our show. And per usual, in this month of March, we want to tell you about the madness. No, not that madness. The madness of the American Band Madness Bracket. That's right. Go to suburbspod.com, go to the homepage. There's a link right there on the front. You can click to see the latest bracket. We're finding the greatest American band ever made, ever assembled, that ever existed. And you are helping us determine who it is. Actually, you're not helping us. You are determining who it is. Every day you go to Suburbs Pod on Facebook or Twitter and you vote on the daily matchup. Come back the next morning to see who took that matchup and get yourself ready for another fresh one. We just finished finding the Sweet 16 and now we're moving teams on to the Elite 8. It's going to be incredible. By the time this whole other distracting basketball thing is over, our really important thing, the American Band Madness Bracket, will have determined the greatest American band of all time. It's going to be really, really fun. Literally quaking with anticipation. All right, so that's your daily duty, and we appreciate everybody who's been voting. The response has been fantastic, and hope you've been enjoying the updates also on the podcast when we get some of our analysts together to analyze a region once a certain threshold has been reached, and we're going to do that continuously as we do the run-in. It's going to be exciting. Can't wait to get to that Final Four. It's really going to be exciting. All right, today, folks, we are going to revisit a series that we have been doing for a long time on this podcast. Yes, that's right. It's time to open up Patrick's Book Nook.
To the Book Nook. Look, we have books. And over there, another book. And right over there, it's Kindle?
Thank you very much, as always, to Mike Wagner for composing that music and putting everything together and working with me on the silly lyrics. Just saw Mike recently, so I hope you're doing well, sir. Hope everything went well for you on your travels. So, right off the top, I have to say a big thank you, and I probably should say thanks every day that this man is my friend. I really, really am lucky to call Paul Trapp my friend. He got this book into my hands, and the book is The Rocklopedia Fake Bandica by T. Mike Childs. And I got this book a while back, and I wanted to take some time to go through it to make sure I really had a good grasp of it before I told you folks about it. But if you haven't seen it, it's really, really cool. It's essentially an encyclopedia of fictional bands and artists from movies and television. And it's really, really neat. And I do want to tell you that in the beginning, T. Mike Childs, and I want to see exactly when this book was published here. Flips pages. This was 2004, the copy I have. So on their website, fakebands.com, they also have been updating this. So the book came out, but they've got a website. It's called fakebands.com. And you can go there and see how everything has been updated. So it's really cool. It's a little wiki there. And I will tell you, too, he says in the introduction, this book is about fictional bands and musicians from American television shows and movies. There are some exceptions for imported programs and movies that receive significant exposure in the United States. I'm sure there are many worthy entries from languages and cultures I can't even begin to pronounce or spell. And then he goes on to give a few lists of why a certain band or musician you may know from a movie or TV show that's not listed. And that's interesting, too. But the book itself is so much fun. Just flipping through it is a blast. It really is. Looking at some of the pictures, seeing some of the bands, and a lot of stuff, of course, you've never heard of, but also stuff you've heard of that's really, really funny. And I love the way it's put together. It's put together like an encyclopedia, of course, but it's got a lot of cool little sidebars where they review albums that came out from movies or TV shows. For example, there's one on the jazz singer Neil Diamond's album. There's a review of the Simpsons music CDs that came out, and all kinds of different things. What's really cool, too, is whenever there's an entry for, let's say, The Simpsons, for example, for a band that showed up in that show, you'll also get a list of all the related groups that appeared in that show as well. So if it's a TV show that often poked fun or had bands in there or musicians, there's a really neat way to also connect the other ones too, so you can learn a lot about it. And here's an example I'll read to you from the entry for Tom Monroe, M-U-N-R-O-E. It says, Monroe, comma, Tom, smooth, soulless tune croner in music videos on a couple of the Jerry Todd Show sketches from the sketch comedy classic SCTV. This is an example of a non-American band that received significant exposure in the United States. Rick Moranis plays both Monroe and Jerry Todd. On the 5/22/81 episode, he ruins the new wave hits Turning Japanese by the Vapors and Da-Dee-Dee-Dee-Doo-Doo-Da-Da by the Police, that one, from his video disc On a New Wavelength. On the 7/10/81 episode, Jerry shows Tom's video for Downtown from his Tom Moreau Sings Petula Clark album. And here's a little trivia nugget, another thing that's included in some of these. SCTV was doing music video parodies before MTV went on the air on 8/1/81. How about that? And then at the bottom, see also Vic Archipeggio, Big Mama, Five Neat Guys, Happiness Unlimited, The Happy Wanderers, Lola Heatherton, The Lemon Twins, Lynx Mink, The Queen Haters, The Ramblers, The Recess Monkeys, Russ Riley, Jackie Rogers Jr., Jackie Rogers Sr., Speed of Light, Dusty Town, The Wally Hung Trio. It's really good. There's also some little things inside the book that I got a huge kick out of. And one of those is 10 real bands that should be fake. Someone called Galen Black has written this little sidebar. Top 10 real bands that should be fake. 1. MC Hammer. He was invented straight from a sitcom writer's notebook. Journey. The fact that Journey is a real band ruins a perfectly good video game. Journey's Escape would be considered a classic of the arcade video game genre if it hadn't been another way for a rock band to make a quick buck. The Cure. Imagine how much better all those John Hughes movies from the 80s would have been if The Cure had been the fake band playing the high school dances. Point well made. 4. Milli Vanilli. If they had only just been a real fake band instead of a fake real band, no one would have cared. Pat Boone. The whole Pat Boone thing would have made a lot more sense if he had been what Hollywood thought America wanted to hear in the 1950s. But sadly, he was exactly what mainstream America wanted to hear in the 1950s. 6, the Rolling Stones. Now, this band would make for one kick-ass TV show. Too bad it would be quickly canceled due to their outrageous, unpredictable, outrageous behavior. 7, unpronounceable symbol. It's in at least one episode of every family sitcom since the 1960s. A kid changes his or her name to something that makes the parents roll their eyes. By the end of the episode, the teenager realizes what a special name he or she already had and changes it back. The Grateful Dead, 8. If the Grateful Dead were a fake band instead of a real one, there would be no net change in the fabric of the universe. Please don't call me Rob Gates. I'm just reading from the book. Warrant. Warrant wasn't a heavy metal band. They were a parody of a heavy metal band. If there was any justice in the world, they would be fake and Spinal Tap would be real. Amen. And 10, Bruce Willis and the rest of his ilk. There should be more sitcoms about TV/movie stars, and every one should have an episode where the star decides to change careers and become a rock star. And by the end of the episode, the star should learn his or her lesson and return to his life as an actor. And Bruce Willis should star in every one of these sitcoms. Really good. But yeah, it is so much fun to flip through and just look at stuff in this book. You know, Lenny and the Squig Tones are in here from Laverne and Shirley. Cool bands, too. You know, the band from The Commitments, obviously, was a really, really fun band. The Five Heartbeats is another one. Josie and the Pussycats, maybe not so much. The live action version, that is. Here is an example of an entry for The Simpsons I was talking about earlier. The Larry Davis Experience. Their entry reads, from the early seasons of the animated TV show The Simpsons, they initially appear in the first season episode Some Enchanted Evening on 5/13/90. Their next big appearance is in the flashback episode The Way We Was, where they play Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road at Homer's 1974 high school prom. In Old Money, they show up as an expanded swing band under the name the Larry Davis Dance Kings. Somewhere in their unillustrious careers, they received a gold record for something. All the other bands that appear in The Simpsons are listed to B-sharps, just a few of them here. Garfunkel, Messina, Oates, and Lisa. Hooray for Everything, Krusty and the Crumbs, MC Safety and the Caution Crew. The Party Posse, Bleeding Gums Murphy, the Rappin' Rabbis, the Yahoo Recovering Alcoholic Jug Band, and Yodelin' Zeke.
Some folk won't ever raise gun, but then again, some folk pull like Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel.
Hey, what's going on this side? Hey, Brandine. You might could wear these to your job interview.
And scuff up the topless dancing runway? Nah, you best bring them back where from you got them.
Okay. Back you go. To waits for a woman of less discriminating tastes.
It's just so much fun and really takes you back. And you know what else is neat is you've come across people who you recognize, but you never knew exactly what they were called. Like, you've seen the movie or the TV show, and you've seen the appearance, but you didn't realize what the name of the band actually was. And that's really cool, too. So, yeah, it's great. It's really, really good. It came out in 2004, but still seems to be well in print. The Rocklopedia Fake Bandica. A lot of credit, of course, given to the Monkees. They were very pioneering in this field, so that's really good, too. It's also a cool list. Fake bands you most want to party with, topped by Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem from The Muppet Show. there's an interesting section, too, on who are the fake bands that charted in the real top 40. That's interesting, too. Chipmunks make an appearance on that list, as you might imagine. We'll leave us with this little sidebar. The fake band supergroup. With all the great fake musicians in the fake world, it sure would be something to see the best of the best together in one supergroup. Dream team of fake musicians to come together in a band we'll call Inauthentica. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the members. Lead vocals, Plava Laguna. There are plenty of worthy singers in this book, but this female alien opera singer of the Fifth Element gets the nod. Lead guitar, Nigel Tufnell from Spinal Tap. Tufnell goes to 11. That's all that needs to be said. Co-lead guitar, The Kid. This Purple Rain heartthrob is here for sexiness and funkmanship. Rhythm guitar, Russell Hammond of Stillwater. This almost famous axe slinger normally plays lead, but since he's a self-proclaimed golden god, he can surely adapt. Bass, Death from The Wild Stallion. Sure, they're better and funkier bass players than Death from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. But are you going to tell him he's out of the band? He is Death. The Death. You don't mess around with Death. On drums, Animal from Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem, the easiest decision to make. And on keyboards, Max Rebo from the Max Rebo Band. Technically, this stubby alien plays the Red Ball Jet organ, but that instrument has to be even tougher to play than the ordinary keyboards, right? As the head of Jabba the Hutt's house band in Return of the Jedi, he's seen some tough places, so playing in dive should be no problem for Max. All that and more in the wonderful book, Rocklopedia Fake Bandica by T. Mike Childs. Thank you very much, Paul Trapp, for making this appear in my studio, in my house, in my record room, in my life. Thank you so much. I encourage everybody to pick that up or go look at Rocklopedia Fake Bandica too. That's really, really fun. It's great. So, with so many musical choices, What is Patrick going to choose to play out? Well, I'm not going to tip it for you. You're just going to have to wait and see. If you have anything you want to say about this book or the fake bands or anything along that ilk, please get in touch with us. You can send an email or a voice file to rock@suburbspod.com. You can call us on the Suburban Party Line, 612-440-1984. And you can always stick your head out the window and yell, 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 yell. All right, folks. I am Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
But she tells me all the time, oh, Jenny, all the time. She says she's going to be showing me tonight. Oh, Jenny, what are you going to show me? Oh, baby, you got the wind to be moving me. Oh, Jenny, baby, you go, boys, you sing this song, you know it. Come on, boys, come on, dig it, dig it.
And yell, 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 yell.